Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, a radio show to help you start and grow your custom apparel and promotional goods business. Get ready to soak up some knowledge with the Custom Apparel Startups crew.
Hello and welcome to the CAS podcast brought to you by Coldesi. My name is Mark Vila, and today's episode, we're going to be talking about growing your direct-to-film printing business. So starting, scaling, and selling more shirts with DTF or direct-to-film. And this has a slideshow to it as well. So if you're not watching this on YouTube or our website, it's a recommendation that you do. However, I'm going to do my best to make this audio only as well. So if I reference something on the slide, it may be a funny picture or something, but overall, the content that I will be referencing will be out loud via voice, so you can get the best out of this, even if you're just listening to this while you're working or driving or whatever it might be. So here we go. Without further ado, let's move on. And the first thing that we want to talk about is how DTF or direct-to-film is a business system. It's not just a print method. Okay, so the system is greater than your print type. There's direct-to-film, there's screen printing, there's DTG. These are all systems. These are all designed to essentially print t-shirts. And that's it, right? So your success is a chain of decisions in this method, in this process, right? So it's about your file prep, your delivery, how you're printing. It's not always as much as the exact details, right? Because printing businesses all over are wildly successful, all using different methods, right? You have people who are maybe on, I only do water-based screen printing on super high quality shirts. And you have other businesses saying, I do screen printing as cheap as possible on the cheapest shirt I can. Then you have a DTG business somewhere in the middle and a direct-to-film business popping up, maybe taking some of the business from all three of those mentioned. So it's not just about the method that you're printing. We know we can be successful in many different methods, but it's about the entire system you're creating to grow your business. And you have to consider what the outcome of this business is first, right? So are you, or what's the desired output now, I think is probably more important, and in the near future. So are you looking to grow the business? Are you looking to increase your profits? Are you looking to create more revenue? Is it somewhere in a little bit of all these things? Is there a current solution you're trying to solve? Or do you need a solution to a problem you're trying to solve? I should say to say that better. So we have to, in this, maintain an infrastructure mindset, because real growth is going to come from this long-term and short-term infrastructure mindset. What is the business that I'm building? Less of a focus on exactly DTF or direct-to-film printing. So there's three stages of your direct-to-film business or your t-shirt business maturity. And the first one that comes out for everybody is the reactive stage. Okay, so what I mean by this is your order-driven stage, right? It's where an order comes in, a problem comes in, you're trying to fix it, you are constantly in a mode of stress. And if you're watching the slideshow, you'll see this guy on the phone and he is just freaking out, messes everywhere, someone's in the background throwing t-shirts, and that's how it is. It's a bit of chaos. So what are you doing? You are doing a next day air of a print head that you damaged. You are doing quick fixes instead of proper maintenance. You're looking for workarounds. You're worried about how quickly your ink or t-shirts can ship versus having an organized system. And that's the next step, right? The next one is an intentional business. This one is where you've built some systems, right? You now know how to do your maintenance properly. Right, you recognize that you have spare parts or spare pieces available for your printer in case they need to be replaced. You've got a great maintenance schedule, and you've got daily and weekly processes, and this is getting your business going, right? And you are able to take orders to fulfill them. And oftentimes you cap out here, right? You reach a max amount of production and sales you can do. So the next maturity of the business is scalable business, where constraints are being removed and you're able to grow without creating chaos, and you're able to just actually grow. Many people get stuck. Some people get stuck in reactive, which means that they just get stressed to the point where they probably quit. Some people get stuck in this intentional phase where you've got great systems and you've got great intent in what you're doing, but you're not really creating a system that can grow. A scalable system contains processes to train your staff. You never have any equipment at capacity, right? If you're getting at near 80, 90% of capacity on equipment, you're already looking to reinvest very, very quickly. And you've got equipment, space, and staff, all different types of goals. So once I produce this amount, I'm going to get this type of equipment. Once I have this amount of equipment, I'm going to need this new staff. Once I have this new staff, I'm going to need this other type of staff. So you've got this scalable goals that are beyond just the reactive stages. My prints aren't as crispy as I want them to be. The intentional stage is I've mastered the process and I recognize that some prints are better than others, and I have to sell the right ones to my customers. And the scalable stage is less focused on the prints and more focused on making sure that you can continue to print and continue to grow and continue to sell. So first, you want to start direct to film off right. Right. And any t-shirt printing, you want to start it off right. Right. So what does this mean? You want to avoid shortcuts and quick wins. So what are quick wins? What are shortcuts? Purchasing a converted printer that does something else made to do DTF, right? It's a knockoff. It's a shortcut. It's not really designed to do that. You're probably going to spend a lot of time messing with things. You're probably going to spend a lot of time with broken or just not, or just the overall process not performing how you want it to be. You also will, trip over pennies is this concept, right? So a fast way to load up your printer might be to eject out, you know, a couple feet of transfer film. And you eject that out and you start to get everything loaded. So when you start printing, you could get into your shaker dryer. If you're direct to film printing, you probably know what I'm talking about. But if you're not, you will soon. Well, somebody tripping over pennies is going to take that piece of film and get it right up to the print head so it starts printing. So they waste zero minimum inches of film. The problem is that it's going to create more work for you later. Now you're babysitting your printer, trying to get everything to load right. You're manually loading things while you have wet ink around. You are trying to save money when in fact you're wasting a lot of time tripping over pennies. So avoid tricks, avoid knockoffs, avoid tripping over pennies, and instead consider designing what your workflow is going to be. Getting things in the right space, making sure that you understand how labor is going to work, how are you going to deliver things, how are you going to store. And a good way in designing the workflow versus, say, trying to trip over a penny might be you have two sources of power in the building that you're in, wherever that is. And one's on the left side of the room, one's on the right side of the room. Or maybe they're catted corner from each other. So you decide, I don't want to purchase anything. I don't want to invest in any electricity or wiring. So I'll put the heat press in this corner, I'll put the printer in that corner. Well, now you've created a space where you've got to shoot all the way across the farthest distance from the room to be able to print and press, which makes that area in the middle maybe a dead space, so you don't put a table there. And hopefully I'm getting the point across, right? Investing maybe a few hundred dollars and getting another piece of electricity dropped so everything can be in a line means that now half your room is production and half your room could be for something else happening in the business. And the next thing, as far as getting things done right, is just planning for volume. So it's not just today's jobs. It's what you plan on happening in the future. And if you're running at 70 to 80% of your capacity, you're probably at healthy space. So what I mean by that is if your printer, your heat presses, etc., if you can print let's just keep the numbers very simple, right? You can print 100 units in a given period of time, 100 t-shirts. Let's just say that's in 1 hour. We can say it's in 4 hours. Doesn't matter. But you can print 100 t-shirts in that given period of time. If you're regularly getting 80 t-shirts that need to be produced in that period of time, then you're doing okay, because you've got that room for when an additional customer comes in to squeeze in that space. Now, as your business grows, that number gets bigger. Obviously, maybe you can, your capacity is 1,000 a day. That's the most you can print in a day, is 1,000. You should be selling and fulfilling around 700 or 800. That gives your business room to grow. There's something called the theory of constraints. And what that means is the closer a system runs to 100% capacity, the less flexible and more fragile it becomes, right? And just think about this in everything in life. It doesn't matter if you are, if you're working out, right? That could be one. You can't sprint while running every single time, the whole time. If you're working out lifting weights, you can't lift the maximum amount of weight every time. Why? Because you're putting your entire system in a strain, increase your chance of injury. You can't actually maintain it for a long period of time. And chances are something is going to, you know, hopefully literally not break, but, you know, your knee might start hurting, right, in running. And the same thing is printing. If you're printing at 100% capacity, you could do 1,000 a day and you're printing 1,000 a day. That means every moment of downtime means you're not printing a little bit. And that downtime could be just doing maintenance. So now you start skipping maintenance, right? It could be a mistake. Somebody gets 100 shirts deep into an order, realize that the art is upside down or backwards or the wrong color. So what do you do there? Now you've got to figure out a way to get that those extra 100 shirts printed. So you start rushing. You start skipping steps. Hey, what if we just heat press a few less seconds? Something like that. And maybe they don't wash as well. You can understand where this starts to stumble and fumble, and your business can't really grow or scale. So another step in starting the business, right, is choosing a good printer / dealer. Because it's not just about the brand of the printer always. It's also about who you're purchasing it from. They're going to be your partner. So when you're looking at that, you, for one, just need to look at the throughput of the entire system. So you're looking at purchasing a printer. We talked about that 70 to 80% capacity. How much are you looking to actually print? And if you're only looking to do a percentage of your business, because this is what happens 100% of the time, I feel. Every time I talk to somebody, they've said this. Well, I was going to start with just doing small jobs and high color jobs. Next thing you know, my customer started liking those prints better, or they knew I could do full color. So they started asking me to do full color more often. And quickly, I was planning on doing 20% of my job. Now I'm doing 60% of my jobs on my direct to film printer versus XYZ technology, like screen printing or something. So when you're thinking about the printer, you probably are going to want to overestimate a bit. If you're just going to do a percentage of your work. Now, if you're planning on doing a full conversion, you don't want a throughput system that can do 1,000 a day if that's what you need to output every day. You need to have that room. Okay. Another to consider is just your overall uptime, right? And you should know this if you're in the business already, but if the printer is down, or any of your systems are down, you're not producing t-shirts. So when you're looking at a printer, you're looking at a dealer, you want to look at, you know, how are parts and supplies readily available? Where am I getting them from? Are there technicians and support people are available? How do they work, right? How long have they been in business? What's their history of this company? If you purchase a printer, say, from overseas directly, then what parts might you need? How quickly are they available, right? What are the chances that the printer is going to change or not be available anymore in a short period of time and you can't get parts? So you want to look at a company's history, how long they've been around, how long is the printer going to be around, maybe even talk about, you know, if that printer is going to be upgraded in the near future, what does that look like? And then the last bit for choosing a printer and a dealer is going to be support and training. right? This is reliability, dependability. How many technicians do they have working for them that actually know how to run these printers? What's available for your staff, right? How can they help them out? Can they do phone calls? Can they do email? Are they working in reasonably similar time zones or not? All these things. And then lastly, it's just going to be training. What is training like? And one thing to mention about training is kind of like the online versus on-site, et cetera. And it's important to really think about this and how the printer is coming to you and what happens when you need, when you get a new employee, because we're talking about scaling your business, right? So the plan probably is that maybe in the beginning, yourself or one specific employee is going to run the printer, but the plan would be that multiple would be running. Or what happens if you have employee turnover? So how, what's short-term training look like? What's long-term training look like? All right, so the next thing we'll talk about is your workflow, right? The workflow is going to determine if you win or you lose. So what are some things that happen in workflow? One of the number one things that happens is your handoff. That's part of workflow. That's part of working with humans or computers, is handing off to the next step and what's going to happen there. So one of the things you do is reduce the amount of handoff that happens. And this is important to discuss with direct-to-film printers, because there are systems you can purchase where you print on one system and then you're going to add your powder, glue, etc., and cure in another system. That's a handoff, right? So that's going to slow things down. That's going to cause potential mistakes to happen. So anytime you have a handoff period, if it goes from your printer and your dryer as one system over to your heat press station, then you need to have specific rules and process for that handoff. What does it look like? What information needs to go with it? Is there a cover sheet that comes along with the transfers with instructions? Is there a computer job that they bring up that they know what to do? It's very important to have rules and a process for your handoff. Now, when you are in your workflow, one of the key things to look for, which is a simple one, and it's obvious, but it should be said, is every time you have to do a reprint. Anytime a mistake is made and you have to reprint your artwork, that's a signal that something failed. And it's a some sort of the process broke down. Maybe it comes directly from the customer. You're having to reprint because the artwork is incorrect. The artwork is incorrect because your customer didn't properly approve it. Maybe you sent them an email and asked them to approve it, but potentially you need to get them to approve it in a more efficient way. So the process could also be in just the actual printing, the artwork, right? The person who did the artwork after the customer got it made a mistake in the size. The printer at the printing station put it, the printer in the wrong mode. And there's a lot of different errors that can happen along the way. You need to watch those. And anytime you have a reprint, that's a signal of failure. And you want to look at what those failures are, start to recognize patterns in those so you can do a better job, communicate better with your customer, have a better process from the handoff to artwork to the printer. Okay. You also want to have a reduction in decisions in your workflow. Okay. This means that you have written standards for everything and you avoid judgment calls needing to be made. And I'll give a really good example of this. A good example would be in the beginning, when you're just starting your business, you might have not have specific sizes for left chest logos or full front t-shirts. You just looked at the shirt, you knew what would look right, and you say, yeah, that's the right size. And maybe normally you would do 10 inches wide, but for this one design, you decided to do 11 inches wide or 8 inches wide, because you, as the artist, as the producer, with pride, you knew that this was the right way. You're making judgment calls. And if you're doing a good job with those judgment calls, customers are going to get the shirts. They're going to be happy. Well, if you pass that down and you pass those judgment calls down, it could degrade over time. The person making the judgment calls might not be as good as you were in the beginning. So what you need to consider is having written standards. And that's all the different scenarios. So if the design is thin and wide, we do wider designs. So if it's shorter than 4 inches, we're going to do those wide. We're going to do 11. However, if the design is really long, we want to make sure that it doesn't go longer than 12 inches. So we're going to have that as a max height and make the width fit into there, etc. There's all types of rules. Left chest logos. If we're doing this brand of polo, it needs to be this many inches from the top corner, from the buttons. If we're doing a t-shirt left chest logo, etc. So you want to kind of have all these different scenarios so judgment calls get reduced and a system gets created, and that is more likely to have everything come out the right way. And then also design your work. Last bit on this, on your workflow, is design your work for flow to avoid need for rushing or working harder. So what we mean by that is the system should have a very specific workflow that you know what the capacity is of each system, right? And you want to avoid the system having one part of the system have a bottleneck, which we'll talk about more later, and kind of having like, well, this part of the system, these people need to work harder. They need to push harder. They need to sweat, right? You want to avoid that type of work because you're not creating a nice, even flow that can just go around all day, every day. You're creating a system with pressure points. Okay, so the next part we'll talk about is going to be production, and production for repeat customers. Now that we have a workflow, the workflow is great. The problem with a really good workflow is if you're not designing this with your customer in mind, if you're only designing for output at the extreme level, then you might not be thinking about your customer's experience. You're only thinking about the number of garments you're producing. So the first things first when it comes to customers and creating production to have them come back and back again is going to be quality, right? Quality is going to get attention from your customers. If they open up that box, they open up the bag, and it's got a beautiful looking garment with their logo on it exactly or better than they pictured it, boom, first impression, you've got their attention. So overall, in general, you want to under-promise, over-deliver. We've all heard that before. You want to set expectations for your customers, whether it's the colors. You know, hey, we do a digital print. You sent me an art with tons and tons of colors. We do our best to match them up. My ultimate goal is to get you a shirt that just looks amazing, right? However, if you have concerns about colors, we could talk about how to make that better for you, et cetera. And then as far as the production process and the quality goes, you know, quality is also delivering on time. That is part of the quality experience. So you want to deliver on time and you want to deliver correct. So have it look good, have good expectations, and then deliver on time and make sure the order is right the first time. That should be a big part of the workflow and your production process. That's going to get your customers coming back. Now, the next step on that is consistency, right? Consistency builds trust. If you deliver the same time every time, so their logo is the same size, going back to that system we talked about before, so every left chest logo is in the same spot. The quality of the print is the same on all of them. The process is the same. They know who they email or how they order online or who they call. Your customer just feels that they can trust you. And the important part to remember on all of this is chances are the person that's ordering this wholesale apparel from you, that's not their full-time job. They probably don't just order apparel full time. Maybe in a really, really large business, they might, but chances are this person is an assistant to somebody, or they just happen to be the person that works for the business who has good style, or they might be somebody in the marketing department, or they might be a sales manager. Who knows what this person is? But this person, their job is not ordering t-shirts from you. Their job is something else. And when they have to order t-shirts, it's extra work for them. If they know they can trust you, they're going to come back to you. They know they can say, send the email to you and say, I need 10 more polos. And it's going to arrive on Friday as expected. They're going to love you. They're always going to come back. All right. And then if you can repeat this process consistently. So if you are great at all of these things, You need to make the systems and processes to make sure that everybody who works with or for you is doing the same type of thing. When it's repeatable, it's scalable. If you know, if you can do it and your staff can do it, then it can be done over and over again. So everything needs to have a process. You need to adapt and change over time, learn from your mistakes, understand that your current process isn't perfect, and you can continually improve it. So as you look to scale, that can actually happen for you. Scaling your direct-to-film business without chaos. Earlier, we talked a little bit about that process and bottlenecks, and you don't want people to be rushing or quote, working harder to make things happen. So what you want to do is you want to look at every single part of your system and look for the bottlenecks. What are the parts of the business that is the slowest? What can't keep up? If your artist can do 10 orders a day for whatever, it doesn't matter the number of shirts, but they could do 10 pieces of art a day and you're only doing 7 or 8 orders, then you're clean. That's fine, right? And that's not bottleneck. If your printer can print 200 an hour and you're only doing 100 an hour, you got plenty of room there. If your heat press now can do 100 an hour and you're at 100 an hour, right? There's a bottleneck right there. It's at the heat press. So what does that mean? Do you need a second heat press or a third heat press? Do you need an additional employee there? What does that mean? Because we know that your artist can do more. You know that your printer can print more, but your heat press is literally at capacity. And that turns into a weird spot too, because what can happen is say that heat press station, you've got a hero there. The hero is you, or your husband or wife or whatever it is, but you have a hero, and this hero can just mash through prints, right? They run this heat press just amazing. Well, now you go to scale, you bring in another employee and they're just normal. They're not a hero. Maybe that's 20% less. So if you have this hero in this spot, you depend on them to be able to max out this capacity, right? So you want to be able to create processes with standard operating procedures. You want to watch out for somebody who is just extraordinary, because you probably can't duplicate them. So you have to figure out, like, they're great in this role and they should be in this role, but understand what that capacity means, or what if that employee exits. And then another thing about an employee exiting or anything with an employee is you want to watch out for somebody who knows it all, who is potentially gatekeeping some knowledge, somebody who just has a finesse but didn't write it down. It's really concerning for a business in a lot of ways. That person can go on vacation and now you're stuck on something. They could become incapacitated. That's a word I can say today. They can become incapacitated in one way or another, maybe injured or whatever it might be. Or they can exit, they can leave, and they can go work for another business. And now all this knowledge on how they have the magic formula to make the prints look so good is gone. So make sure everything is written down, make sure everything gets into a standard operating procedure. And if you have a hero, good for you. That's great for your business. Just make sure that their knowledge is not just in their head. And if they have any tips and tricks, it's being passed along. Okay, now let's talk a bit about pricing. So you want to be able to price for capacity. When you first start your business, I'll have a whole episode just on pricing. So that'll be coming up soon, but we'll talk quickly about it, right? In the beginning, you might consider different pricing models, like a cost plus one, right? Cost plus, it's pretty typical. My shirt costs $5. I want to make $10 a shirt, so I charge $15. All right, but that doesn't really account for how long it takes to make the shirt. It doesn't account for if there's any additional labor costs for this one. It doesn't account for any blocks to capacity, you know, how many you can actually print. There's no supply and demand. It's just this like $10 a shirt rule, which is fine maybe in the beginning to get you started. The math is super easy, but it doesn't really account for the capacity of your business. It doesn't count for how much work this individual piece is. So you really need to look at pricing with your capacity. How much can you do of this work? If a particular job takes 8 hours to make one shirt. It's ridiculous, but think about it. You know, why would you want to make $10 on that? Right? You would probably just turn that job down or charge $1,500 for it or something ridiculous, right? So you want to look at your capacity and less on these simple price models like cost plus and more on your capacity. How much work can you do? How much is your time worth? And again, there's going to be a whole podcast just on this, but this is kind of the, some basic concepts of pricing. And then another thing when we talk about pricing is the speed that you can do things, right? This is another thing that people don't necessarily change pricing on. You get a direct-to-film printer, you get a brand new printer. That's awesome. Five times as fast as what you could do before, let's just say. So sometimes what folks will do is because they're charging by time, they just reduce their prices. Well, that doesn't really work for scaling and growing the business. What the speed should allow you to do is to create more faster, reduce that capacity, and actually be able to get more customers now. Now, maybe reducing price is part of the strategy, but also delivering on time should be part of the strategy, and all of that is great value. If you can print faster, actually, your prints might be worth more because your competition can't do that. If you could take orders on Monday and deliver them on Wednesday and your competition can't do anything less than a week away, well, your apparel is actually worth more now that you're faster. So when you look at your speed, you have to watch out for what that means for your pricing. It doesn't mean just lower your pricing because that's very tempting. It's always tempting to lower your price because you think you're going to get more customers if you're cheaper. But it's a dangerous game to play. So you really want to price for sustainability, for growth. You know, it's not just about winning that one job. Pricing is about having good margins to be able to maintain your equipment, to be able to hire new employees when you need to be able to create growth, to be able to do all of these things that you want to do for the goals that you have. All right. And it is important. We talked about price and that cheaper price. It's important to compete without racing to the bottom in price because pricing is never an advantage. Somebody will always be cheaper than you, period. That you might be the cheapest now until somebody comes in who decides their life goal isn't to have a family and own a house, but they want to literally sleep in their print shop and fish out back. And so they need to make almost no money. They're going to sell it super cheap. Maybe a big corporation comes in and they're backed by some venture capital, and profit isn't a big deal for a bunch of years for them. So they can super undercut. So you have to be able to deliver more than just really low prices. It's a dangerous game to play. What will win over time? Reliability, delivering on time, consistency in your quality, great customer service. You know, these are all the things that are sustainable. You can actually deliver and train people on, and it allows you to charge a price that's good for your goals. And speed is a huge value in this. Being able to turn around quickly, be consistent on that is going to win customers, which is partly why this direct-to-film technology has grown so quickly, is because people went from, I want a shirt with 6 colors. I need 50 of them. And then it turns into like this whole process with screen print, right? Prepping all the different colors, prepping the screens. They're 2, 3, 4 hours in. They're just getting printing. The direct-to-film printer is done already. They're done in like 30 minutes on this job, maybe, an hour printing it. So it is really important to be able to have, consistency, good speed, and deliver. We're in this age of Amazon deliveries and getting quick answers on Google and AI, all that stuff. And that's what people want. People are looking to get things done quickly. So if you have a good system that's good and clean and fair priced and you can deliver quick, you're going to get return customers consistently. And then the last bit on this is just quality actually matters in competing. The quality is just so important to more people than you think. And here's just a simple way to prove it, right? Are you driving the cheapest car you possibly can? Probably not. Are you wearing the cheapest shoes you possibly can? No, you're probably wearing, you know, some Brooks or some Hokas or on clouds or some Nikes or New Balance, right? Those aren't cheap shoes, but you're on your feet all day. You're working on your feet. Good shoes are important to you. You'll spend $100 on them, maybe. So the same thing happens with apparel, and you're going to have customers who don't care about quality at all. And, you know, maybe that's not your customer. Chances are you're going to be fighting with them constantly, right? Keeping their business is always going to be tough if they don't care anything about quality. All right, so let's talk a little bit about retail versus wholesale, because these are a couple paths to consider for your scaling and growing your business. So for one, you should expect different expectations in these two lines of business. They're not the same customer. Retail is pretty flexible. You have more variety of work you're doing. There's more forgiveness in size. You can maybe shrink the size a little bit to make more prints fit on your printer. And maybe the customer doesn't know or doesn't care. You can have some higher margins in here as well. There's flexibility in the margin. They're not as tight. You can typically raise prices a bit more because you've got the shirt in there, you've got the artwork, you have lots of room to wiggle on this with retail. Typically, you're doing the artwork, you're doing the printing, you're doing the pressing, you're ordering the shirts, you're delivering it, you're doing all of that. There's a lot of flexibility in your margin. Wholesale is more about precision. You need the same results and the same print every single time. Trust matters more than your creativity or how great of an artist you are. All of it is about trust in this wholesale business, because you have somebody out there selling. They sold, they got somebody to say yes and give them money. Now they have to deliver the product on time, and it's got to be the quality that they set. So you can scale really fast with that type of business, but you can also crumble particularly quick with the wholesale business as well, especially if you can't scale well, because you're going to have these wholesale customers selling, and who knows when the time is going to be when one of your wholesale customers is going to go from doing 100 shirts in order to 500 shirts in order. And you have to be able to scale and grow with them, which means having the systems and the training and all that stuff is really important. Broken systems will get exposed as it grows. So if you're at that system that is at 100% capacity and you're always on edge, all it takes is that one wholesale order or one retail order even to go from normally it's 100, now it's 200 to kind of create damage in the system, damage your reputation, potentially lose the customer. So your reliability in your system now that you're going to create is going to come really from the basics to start, right? For one, your supplies matter. Ink, film, powder, the blank shirts you use, the cleaning solutions you use, all of these little things matter, right? Because not all these supplies are the same, right? If you try to buy the cheapest powder every single time, you're going to get different results. You're going to get changes in your system. You're going to get different heat press signs. Some of them aren't going to hot peel, right? There's going to be all different types of weird things that happen for you. Your colors are going to change if you change your supplies, right? Not every ink is the same. If you don't know that already, that's an important lesson to learn before you have to learn it the hard way, is that magenta is not just magenta when it comes to these pigmented inks, right? They're all different formulas, and then the formulas are put into a software, and the software outputs to the printer a certain way, knowing the time, temperature, and powder, and all those things that you're using to create a certain color. If you change something in that formula, you could damage the color. So you lose reliability when you're changing supplies or bouncing around to different vendors. Maintenance is another huge part. It's just a non-negotiable part of reliability. You have to do it right the same way every day. People who do that, I know people who do it, and I know people who don't do it. And the people who do it right every single time, every day, are the ones that are not complaining about things not working often. The ones who are complaining about things not working often are often the ones that when you look at the printer, it's very dirty, right? Or they just are they're using some different solution than the one that's recommended because they can save a couple pennies. Remember, tripping over pennies, dangerous game. And the last bit of reliability is being stocked up. This could be on ink, this could be on film, powder, or apparel at times too. Parts, supplies. If you know that your printer has dampers and they have to be changed every so often, and you know you're changing them every X amount of months, you should probably have a set of those dampers in stock. Right? They should just be there. What if one accidentally goes earlier than expected? What if you are installing one to replace it and you do something by accident, crack it, break it, drop it on the ground, step on it? Who knows what's going to happen? If you don't have stock and spare parts and extra ink, then you're going to run into troubles. The same thing happens if you get extra orders in, right? If you normally do 100 or 1,000 shirts a day, and all of a sudden you get a huge bump, that's going to dwindle your supplies down. Do you actually have enough in stock to be able to handle those spikes? If you don't, you should. Otherwise, this is what's going to happen. And I see this all the time too. So you go to order ink because you're almost out of white ink because you got a huge order that came in. While you were messing around and rushing, you spilled some of it. So now you lost a bunch of it. So now you go to order more ink and you're ordering it overnight and you're upset because it costs $80 to overnight, $60 worth of ink. I mean, you see where the story is coming from, right? And how the story unfolds. You're losing margin. You're getting super stressed out. You've got a big ink spill to clean. All this chaos comes, right? Versus having the good system, doing things properly, checking your ink levels, you know, in the morning when you're doing your maintenance, filling it up then, noticing the shelf is a little lighter than you'd prefer, going online and placing an order that doesn't need to be rushed, so the next time you've got it available. So consider having, you know, 30, 90 days of inventory, have an emergency kit, anything from print heads to dampers to ink lines, filters, whatever pieces you might have. So let's talk about the roadmap we've discussed. It starts with your goals. What do you want to do? And then once you determine what that goal is, I want to bring in a certain number of revenue with a certain number of profit, certain number of growth over time. What's stopping you from hitting that goal now? Is it is it the heat press or the printer? Is it your sales? What is it? What are the roadblocks? If you have a big printer, you know how to run it perfectly, you're amazing at art and you have a perfect system, then maybe it's just selling. If you can sell pretty well and get referrals and find new customers, but every time you print, you end up with this huge pile next to the heat press, you know it's your heat presses that's constraining you. So figure out what's constraining you. Fix your reprints, find where your mistakes are, write them down, create a logbook of every mistake, how it happened, who did it, where it started from, where do you think it came from, what lesson you learned. I mean, literally log all of this. Keep an Excel sheet of every mistake. What did it cost you? I mean, this is very detailed, but what will happen is after 20 mistakes, you'll look at it and you'll say, out of 20 mistakes, a bunch of these I feel like I can't control or are harder to control. But you may see that 8 of them have to do with bad artwork. Well, how do we fix that? Maybe you have the customer approve it in a different way, et cetera. Standardize everything. So have a standard operating procedure for all your processes. How large the left chest logo should be. Where is the placement? Your maintenance schedule. Keeping supplies in stock. Have procedures for everything. Make sure you have the right equipment, right? Throughput, uptime, support, the company you're working with. All of these things matter. Watch out for copycats, watch out for cheats, you know, tripping over pennies. Then you want to look at your capacity. Don't run at 100% capacity. The theory of constraints, that's going to give you troubles. Watch out for that. Make sure you're using reliable supplies. Don't cut corners. Don't jump around on the different types of ink you're using. It's going to cause you trouble. While you're working with your printer, make sure you never skip your maintenance. These are all things that are going to keep you up and running well, right? They're going to keep that capacity going at what you're expecting it to be. Then your pricing, right? That's a super important one. I did mention we're going to have an episode just on pricing, but you want to price for your output, you want to price for your capacity, you want to price for your growth. When you are outputting, the quality matters. Customers are going to remember the quality, and the quality doesn't just mean the actual how the shirt feels or washes. Quality means the customer service experience. It means when it was delivered, how fast it was delivered, what they expected versus what they got. All this is the quality that you're delivering to your customers. And the last bit here is, last two bits are, one is adapt, change. Notice a change when you need to make one. Don't get stuck in a way that I've always done it this way, so it works. Consider that if you feel that customers are doing something or saying something that you don't like, or that is stopping them from returning, then you have to introspectively look at that business and say, what do I need to adapt and change? Maybe the adapt and change is finally getting a direct-to-film printer, right? That's one I've been seeing a lot lately. We've been holding off on it, but we know we need to do it, you know, and I've heard that statement a lot. And then, of course, have good partners. And the partners you're going to have are not necessarily business partners, but your suppliers for ink and parts and your printer and your apparel and your artwork, all of these things are all a part of the partners that you deal with that are going to help to make sure that your business has the capacity to grow, the reliability you need, and the output of quality your customers are expecting. So this is kind of a bonus section I have here. So for those of you watching, you'll see it. If you're listening, I'll read some of it. But some sales ideas worth exploring. We didn't talk a lot about sales here, and we'll probably do an episode just on sales. But there are a lot of ways to sell that don't involve just price and involve getting repeat customers, making more money, revenue, profit, all that stuff. So there's different methods. These are all things you can look up on YouTube. You could buy books on these, and I'm gonna say a few out for those just listening. But if you go to our website, this list will be in the slideshow. But value-based pricing, the Sandler method, good, better, best selling, bundling, upselling, scarcity, deadlines. There's a lot of different things you could do in your sales process to make sure that you're getting what you need out of the sale, that your customer is getting what they want, and that they are not being just held back by just saying no, right? Or they're not being held back by just looking at the price. So I highly recommend, if you haven't done any sales training, it's a great thing for you to do. You can start with just watching YouTube videos or buy some books, read some books, audiobooks, whatever it is. There's a ton of things. And if you start diving into the selling portion of this as well, or if you have somebody who's selling for you, make sure they do this. I mean, pay them to take a training course or watch videos and take notes and teach you. So what are some next steps here after listening to this? You know, for one, I'll do kind of my commercial here. You know, I'm with Coldesi, as mentioned earlier. And if you've listened to all this and you've learned some things and you're trying to figure out what to do, for one, next step is, if you're not already doing these things, do them. Create a list of everything that you need to have a procedure for. Artwork, taking orders, sizing of artwork, whatever it might be, placement of artwork. Write down everything you should have a procedure for. And if you don't have SOPs or standard operating procedure kind of manuals or one-sheeters, start creating them. Create a calendar of you're going to create one a week for the next X amount of weeks. Next is, you're going to start tracking. Track every mistake that you make. And if you have made mistakes, try to look for some pattern recognition. And the bonus one is, learn some sales techniques or have somebody in your team do it. Now, next steps as far as what Coldesi can do for you next is if you haven't seen our sample prints, I'm going to highly recommend that you just go to Coldesi.com and just live chat with someone and say, hey, can I see a direct-to-film sample? I want to compare it to what I'm doing now, or I want to compare it to what I'm thinking about doing, whatever it might be. You can also ask them for like a live or a virtual demo online so you can actually see the process if you are not familiar with it, or if you're only doing, you know, the print and then you have the little shaker that you're shaking it by hand and curing it in the heat press. If you're only doing it that way, maybe you want to go ahead and see what a full process is, a full automated process looks like. You can also get a quote. We've got webinars and other podcasts you can check out. We've got a magazine customized now. We have a UV edition, a direct-to-film edition. We've got a bunch of content that we're happy to share with you. And lastly, and most importantly, is probably just ask questions. Whether it's about something in this webinar, you can email learn@coldesi.com if you just want to ask me directly about something, not in this webinar, in this podcast. If you have something directly you want to ask me or just mention, just learn@coldesi.com and just say, hey, I was listening to the Growth in the Direct-to-Film podcast, and here's a thought, here's a question. If you are looking for questions specifically about printers or the process of printing, you could email there as well, or you can go to coldesi.com. So thanks for listening, and hopefully you've learned something today, and have a good business.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Custom Apparel Startups. Find more info and episodes at customapparelstartups.com. Brought to you by Coldesi. Learn about all the customization equipment Coldesi has to offer at coldesi.com.